Catherine, it is our last episode before the new year.
Can you believe?
I can't believable. What a year it's been. We broke 5,000 listens this year.
We did. That's a big number. I never
Put
thought
cheering
we'd
in the
get that high.
background. Put cheering in the background. Yes,
I
well.
will.
You know, I'll take it as a victory. You know, there's like a gajillion, everyone has a podcast now. But I will take this as a victorious moment in our solid year of being a podcast.
Right. Well, everyone has a podcast, but does everyone have a podcast that survives? You know what I mean?
That's the true
Like,
fact.
we passed one full year, we passed 5K listens, we have a review
Fans?
on Apple Podcasts. Like,
We're doing
we have
good.
hit, yeah, we've hit some milestones, you know?
We've hit some
I'm proud of
milestones.
us.
I think I can retire.
Maybe, you know what I hope for in 2020 is maybe we'll get a sponsor. Can
Whoa.
you imagine?
Whoa.
That'd
That'd
be
be
wild.
wild.
That'd be so wild.
That'd be wild.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to a special listener. We were their number one podcast of the year.
Ayo.
Ew. Homegirl Jen Chamberlain 2017 on Instagram at your girl, at your homegirl. Keep spreading the love. We appreciate it. And she said especially she liked us much more when Chad was on the show. And I
Sounds
will
like we need
not.
to have Chad back.
No, I will not tell him that. I will not give him that satisfaction that he is making her show better.
what if he listens and finds out that way? Does Chad still listen to us?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he does. And he can go
Oh,
fuck
great.
himself
Chad, if you're
and
listening, hey,
go
what's
fuck
up?
yourself.
Great.
Yes. Chad makes everything a little better, but we will never tell him that. So we took a brief break, a little hiatus, just for the majority of the month, I would say, right?
Yeah, it was. I don't know the passage of time right now. I'm going day by day, just trying to survive, you know?
Why are you talking like a sage? Like why are you talking like a wanderer?
Because I'm working in retail now and it's broken me.
Yeah, so life, as you can see, got hectic, and Catherine got a job.
Yay, I love
A
seasonal cashier
job.
jobs.
Look at that. Catherine's employed. So what is annoying you this week, Catherine?
Ooh, well, I'm back in retail, so where can I even start? Do I have to only say one thing? Because there are two things I'm tied on. I
You
can't
can
decide
say two
between them.
things. I
Okay, I'll say
think,
two
you know,
things.
leading into 2020, I think women should have more of a voice. So you can say two things.
I hate you, first of all. All right, okay, so the first thing, they're both retail related. Who's surprised? Not me. This is something I'd forgotten about in my years of not having to work retail, because I haven't worked retail in about 3 years. But the complete disregard that so many people have for closing hours.
Yes.
We had a guy come in a few days ago. I was about to close. I was like about to lock the doors, and I hear the doors open. This guy walks in, and it is literally 1 minute before we're about to close. 1 minute. And apparently one of our employees saw him outside and was like, "Oh, are you going in?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, just so you know, we close at 8." And the guy looked at his watch and went, "I have a minute," and walked in.
What a
like
f I hate,
he
and you know what kind of person that is.
Right.
That is a
Right.
white person.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
What?
It wasn't.
Oh,
You're
wow.
wrong.
Wow.
A lot of the stragglers we've had recently have not been white people. I'm not saying that we don't also have white people straggling,
That are
but
aggressive during these hours.
they
No,
don't
yeah.
care.
I,
They
you
don't.
know.
They truly do not care. Like every single day I've closed for the past week, there's been at least one person who it's like 15 minutes after close, and they're just taking their sweet time, hanging out,
What
like.
the fuck?
That's
It's
great.
like, dude, it's
Anyways,
all dirt.
yeah, so that's one thing. The second thing is a smaller, like little retail thing is I don't know if this applies to all places, but at least where I work, the card reader won't like it gets mad at you if you insert the card before everything is rung up, right? So like if you ring, if you like scan something after someone inserts the card, it's going to start beeping at you to remove it. But so many people will walk up to this counter, put something on the counter, and immediately shove their card in before I even have a chance to scan anything. Yes. And then it'll beep at them and they remove it like, all right, I'm done paying. And I'm like, I literally haven't even scanned these items yet. Like, I haven't even scanned your items yet. You don't even know how much you're being charged. What are you doing?
This is why I like working in an office.
I miss working in an office. So much sitting involved that I miss so dearly. My feet hurt.
Chairs miss you.
My feet are swollen like a pregnant woman's. It's awful.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm just standing for 8+ hours a day.
I really hope you put I have a podcast on your Tinder bio.
Oh my God.
Or on Bumble.
I don't even know. I am on Bumble now. I'm trying to make friends.
Wow.
It's not working well.
Yo, platonic only.
I talked to one person about their fat cat for like a minute. I don't know if they ever messaged me back. I haven't opened the app in like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah. Someone
find me on Bumble. I want friends.
Yeah, so you hear it, Atlanta. Go find Catherine. Go hang out with her.
Yeah, so find me on Bumble.
So today, it is a very topical topic. Tropical topic. Today, since Taylor has been in the news a lot with Scooter Braun and winning Artist of the Decade, which I completely disagree with.
We discussed that part, though.
Yes. So without further ado, let's talk about the 2000s. Cue music.
Thanks. I always miss that cue if you don't tell me.
I know. I just gotta tell you.
Where am I gonna put that intro song?
Sometimes mansplaining just comes in handy.
Uh-huh. That's you, Jason Mansplainer. Is that on your Tinder bio?
I'm in a relationship, I goddamn you. Karina heard, if my girlfriend heard this, she would flip shit. She was like, oh, you have a Tinder? Really?
Good, I hope she's listening.
She doesn't.
I live to get you in trouble.
Don't. So today we talk Taylor Swift again, part two. But like we said last episode, this is more of the personal side and the gossip, the mess Taylor has walked over these past years. And
Taylor Swift, the backstory.
And really, the most important thing I want to talk about today is the Swifties. And I really hope they're listening. And I hope they get mad today, because I will be talking about you guys hard.
What if this is the last... Well, Jason, you have to remember, now that cancellation culture is a thing, what if we get canceled?
I mean, it won't happen. No one's listening.
After we just talked about how we broke 5K listens.
I know. You can't cancel what doesn't exist.
Jeez.
You know.
And let's also talk about like the 2000s, I don't know her.
And also like, I don't know, having to cancel a thing, like only higher ups and TV production and huge studios can cancel things. People can't cancel things.
I don't know. From what I heard, Twitter's become pretty powerful. I listened to a whole NPR podcast about it.
I mean, it's only like a few hundred people that are just like really angry, so it's like, whatever.
No, they were actually saying, though, that like the way Twitter stans are, like it's actually affecting how critics like...
It's frightening.
...critique media, yeah. Because like they go so hard after anyone who is critical of any music to the point where like... critics are afraid because people like go into their personal life and like find their address and stuff if they say anything bad about like whatever they're fans of.
It's kind of frightening, but that is a topic for another fucking day. So I think we should start off today by talking about Taylor Swift's list of boyfriends.
All right. This is not a list I have ever kept track of, so this is all you.
Luckily, there are websites that have.
I honestly can't think of a single celebrity that I've ever kept track of relationships.
I think Jennifer Lopez.
Forgot which like British royal family dude got married.
Harry.
Sure.
Okay. So let's start at the beginning. little infant Catherine is during, this is during a time when she's going out with Joe Jonas.
Oh, yeah, she was yes. small.
The, also, the when Genesis. You s-
did you intend to say little infant Catherine or little infant Taylor Swift?
No, I meant infant, like infant you, because you were okay. a baby. At
when
this,
I was
at
an
this
infant.
Moment. You were a child. So, all right. you know.
Whatever you say.
They went out for a solid, I would say, 3 months. 3 months. It lasted, you know, it's just like a small fling. You know, he broke up with her over a 20-second phone call. And everything seemed pretty okay. But her original reactions to the breakup, last kiss, and forever and always, were a little more scathing. So I love all the list of all the boyfriends because they're all relating to a song she's done. Always. Right.
Right.
So that's usually interesting, you know. Joe Jonas, and now he's married to, what's her face? From Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. What's, yes. I forgot her name. I'm not a name person.
I'm so sorry.
She plays Sansa.
Sansa, yeah, he married that Sansa. One. So that really, one. Everyone wins in the end, I guess. You know,
they
that's
seem
cool.
happy, sure.
She went out with Lucas Till. Very briefly.
I don't know who that is.
Lucas Till is the white guy from the You Belong With Me video.
Okay. Got
yeah.
it.
Yep. Won her heart on set of the music video. But it was just, you know, it wasn't much of anything. It was just more of like having a free sample and realizing you're not a fan of jalapeno peppers.
I mean, honestly, that's a mood.
That's a big mood. I knew this one because I saw the movie Valentine's Day, but then after that she went out with Taylor Lautner.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah. Wasn't she in that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm not
yes.
crazy.
I do remember watching that in theaters.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know.
I heard it was pretty bad.
I don't know. But you know, she did write about him on Back to December.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so.
A good song.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. I guess.
it's a classic.
After that breakup, she went out with Gross Boy John Mayer for a few months. And I think that's John Mayer's gross. John Mayer's gone out with like
yeah.
half of Hollywood.
I forget that John Mayer exists constantly.
A lot of my guy friends like to support John Mayer because he's an amazing guitarist, you know, blues guitarist. Oh, but he's so good.
Okay,
so
yeah, good. There are a lot of those people out there. Like, that doesn't make him special. It's like, well...
No, yeah, I was just like, I complained about... whenever. So when I look up, like, a review for, like, a pedal or a new guitar, guys are always playing blues riffs. Everything is blues.
Yeah.
And I fucking find that very boring. And so my friend on Twitter was just like, why, John Mayer, this and that, like, blues is so good, and, like, the chords. I was like, yo, this shit is whack. It's fucking boring. Every time I hear it, I think I'm turning 80. I feel like yeah. I should be in, like, Louisiana hearing bluegrass, too. So I'm, like, not about this shit. So John Mayer... Yeah.
I just find him boring. Like, to me, he's in, like, a similar bubble to, like, Michael Bublé, you know?
Weirdly enough, John Mayer has been quiet these past few years. He's just been, he's not wild bad boy anymore, you know? And apparently, the songs Dear John and I Knew You Were Trouble were about him. And I Knew You Were Trouble is totally about him. Totally about him.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that checks out, yeah.
She also went out with Corey Monteith very briefly from Glee.
Which one does he play?
He's the one who OD'd.
Oh yeah, he played one of the main guys, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought.
He was the lead.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to double check. I'm not, you know me, I'm not good with names.
Yeah, and apparently Swift explained that Speak Now and Mine was about him, that she barely knew him, that, you know, I barely knew, he put his arm around me by the water, and I saw the entire relationship flash before my eyes, because she's clairvoyant in relationships. And she was just like, I'm going to date this guy for a fucking month and that's it.
Knew what she wanted going in.
Yeah. But apparently they both blushed when Ellen brought it up to each of them at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They both got real blushy red. I was like, I bet they fucking were. And after Corey, there was the greatest of all time, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ah, yes.
From October 2010 to January 2011. And she explained, the last time is about an experience I had with someone who was kind of this unreliable guy. You never know when he's going to leave. You never know when he's going to come back. But he always does come back. Hmm. I mean, homeboy's making movies. Like, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can, like, make movies and still, like, be present in the sense that, like, even if you're not physically present, you can be, like, I don't know, emotionally present, I guess.
Wasn't there, I don't know if you've ever heard this, there was that rumor, I don't know if it was ever true, that Jake Gyllenhaal was the one that Taylor Swift lost her virginity to.
I don't know. Again, I literally never kept track of that kind of stuff. I've never been into the celebrity gossip relationship stuff, so never kept track of that.
It's true. I feel like someone can corroborate this.
I don't particularly care who took her virginity. it's not my business. It's not interesting to me.
And yet here we are doing an entire episode on someone else's business. And whose idea
was it? Because it wasn't me.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ. I think it was you.
No. Taylor Swift like deserves an episode. I said we should do an episode on her. I never said
there we
should
go.
Do an entire episode just on the drama in her life.
I rest my case.
Okay.
I rest my
whatever,
case.
Whatever, Jason.
So after Jake Gyllenhaal won the greatest of all time, she went out with Eddie Redmayne.
I don't know who that is.
The Danish girl, Fantastic Beasts.
Got nothing. Les Mis. Honestly, fun drinking game idea for this episode. Take a drink I don't know who the hell someone is.
How does a white person not know white people?
There are a lot of them in this world. I feel like... I can't
keep
track.
Come on. Eddie Redmayne, British white. A solid British white. You know.
I got nothing. And maybe if I saw a picture.
Wildly enough, Eddie Redmayne still says it never happened. He's like, yo, I never went out with homegirl. But I was just like, meh.
That's funny.
I don't believe it. And, of course, she went out with Zac Efron.
Oh, she did, didn't she?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
They started to date.
He was hot stuff back in the day.
Is he just hideous now?
I don't even know what he looks like anymore.
I think he still looks the same.
When I say hot stuff, I don't necessarily just mean, like, attractive, but also, in general, like, very popular for his attractiveness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I have a clear memory of back in the day when I was super into High School Musical, walking into, like, Target or something and seeing, like, a nightgown with his face, like, taking up the entire nightgown. Like, just him. On, like, a pink nightgown for a child. And me, as a child who was super into High School Musical, looked at that and went, that seems like overkill.
Every time I get naked and shower, I want him to stare at me.
Yeah, like, that's a lot, you know?
I want him to watch me lather.
Yeah, it was just... Ooh.
Apparently, they started to date around the time they were promoting their movie The Lorax in the first part of 2011. But deny the rumors, but it doesn't seem like Efron was attached to any of the songs on Red. The pair did write a song about their relationship, denying the dating rumors through a parody of Foster the People's Pumped Up Kicks.
A lot of people really like to parody that song when really it's like high-key depressing.
Yeah.
Interesting thing to parody it about.
She also went out with this dude named Connor Kennedy. I have no idea who the fuck this guy is.
Kennedy? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a skip. She went out with Harry Styles.
Yes.
Very briefly. Yes, I'm sure. I do remember that was like all over the news. You know, Taylor Swift and like Harry merging to become one.
What a way to put it.
I know. Could you imagine if your relationship was just you morphing into another person?
Honestly, just, like, no.
Becoming That's... one superhuman.
Well, I've witnessed it, you know? You know?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you do.
Woo! I hope they don't listen to this shit.
I'm sure they don't.
Apparently, their relationship was very rocky.
Check out this evolution.
Look at the growth. Look at the growth on Zac Efron. God. Well, the blonde hair bit, I'm sure he did because he was doing the beach bum.
Yeah, that particular photo, I will also say, is really not
it's not flattering.
There is some more flattering. But also, I think some the facial hair happening is not especially flattering either.
Yes, of course.
So that wasn't a good look for him.
Yeah. Apparently, it was like this rumored thing that they had for a while. And then she wrote, "I knew you were trouble" from Red about Styles. And I thought it was about John Mayer, but I think it'd be good about both.
Yeah, once I think they it broke could easily up, be about both, yeah.
She had to tweet a song from a lyric from the song "Till You Put Me Down" for fans to know it was over. Like, she's a fucking dog. "Till You Put Me Down." Old Yeller.
Well, I mean, it could be taken in, like, other ways. Like,
the putting you down.
Uh-huh. Besides,
off,
like...
off the pedestal.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Besides, like, killing someone, you could be, like... Oh, yeah, just like, oh, I'm just like, you pick something up and you're like, I don't want this anymore. You put it down.
Apparently, Out of the Woods, song from 1989, was about him with lyrical references to their romance in a snowmobile accident.
That's specific.
Do you think, I noticed it's been now, we're now trekking into 2015. I feel like, you know, having your life so public and your dating life so rumored and public, you know, it's just a great way to inspire songs still.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, the thing is, like, also, like, she, like, her writing songs about her relationships is not, like, a unique to her thing.
Oh, no,
she
it's
has
not.
The
Everyone.
Reputation for it. Yeah. Like, okay, like, Ariana Grande's
she
album,
only has
Sweetener,
reputation because
like,
it's been
I wonder
so public.
Who that's about, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's... like, it's not a new thing. People write about their experiences. It makes sense. Film is the same way. People write about what they know. She writes about the relationships in her life. It's not abnormal. I think it's... but, like, the fact that everything is so public.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
just everyone
knows
can know
which relationships they're from. And, like, she's talked about it before, too. So she's not necessarily trying to hide the fact that it's about relationships.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah. And especially since she's dating, like, big-name people. She's not dating some random dude.
That's some random dude she met in a bookstore.
Right, exactly. So, like, people know so much of it is so much more public, you know?
So, Calvin Harris was 2015 through June 2016. That's a fair
he's
lengthy...
He's another person I forgot existed.
I mean, he's just a fucking... he's just, like...
He was
Mr.
big
DJ
for a minute,
man.
And then he just disappeared.
Well, you know,
does
they have a
make
hit.
Music?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They had a hit. What was circuit. It? Was it? Didn't it have, like, Summer in the name or something?
Yeah, something like that. Look What You Made Me Do was about him.
Mm-hmm.
She lends an eerie nod to Harris by crawling out of a graveyard next to a headstone reading Niall Sojberg, which was a pseudonym the singer used to conceal her identity on Harris and Rihanna's hit track, This Is What You Came For. Wow, very on the nose. You know, whatever. But, you know, but I think this is like that relationship she had that, you know, you're getting older, you start caring less. And this one was like more public but from her. Like, he's on her Instagram posting each other like we're on vacation. You know,
right.
A solid, healthy relationship.
Right,
you
right.
Know, just a good time. And the last one that this site has that is known to humans, I guess, is Tom Hiddleston, Loki himself.
Oh, God. I had forgotten
Wild.
About that, and I wish I still had forgotten about it. Thank you for reminding me.
Why? Was it just
I
like...
don't know. That was just... I was just like, really?
Mm-hmm.
There's also... there's a bit of an age difference, if I remember correctly. I don't remember how old he is, honestly.
I think he's,
but...
you think he's in his late 30s.
I don't know. I would just say that out of the relationships that have been public that I'm aware of, that's one of the ones I'm just not. I don't know. It felt weird.
Right, it's weird. Like,
right, like that's
going out with Loki.
You
Word?
Ew.
Word?
I hate
Wow.
it.
Apparently, after 3 months of allegedly intense romance, meeting the parents, spending a different 4th of July with Swift's squad, quote unquote, the couple broke it off in early September.
Yeah. It was a pretty short one then, yeah? I can do math.
Yep. So,
what was that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was so much sass in that one.
Mm-hmm. This is a very sassy
there
thing.
There it is.
People used to do in movies, in teen movies, that terrible writers would make black people do. There was always a sassy black woman in like
thank
a really shitty movie.
Thank you for education, Jason.
Always. Always. I'm here to teach.
Yeah, that's why you're here. That's why we're doing this.
My
episode.
Purpose in life is to teach.
I can't
this
believe Let's Talk About the 2000s
is
an is
educational,
educational podcast. Yeah.
It's under like PBS NewsHour,
oh
NPR,
God.
And then us.
I hate it.
Yep.
Gosh.
It's NPR's up first and then us. We're just here to let you know what happened years ago. That you can Google yourself. You don't have to listen to us. So out of all these men, out of all these relationships, which do you think is the most fitting for Taylor Swift that she's had?
As someone who really didn't follow any of them, I'd say her and Calvin Harris wasn't one of the worst ones. It seemed to be a
solid,
relatively normal relationship. They seemed happy during it.
Yeah.
Don't super really know him. Don't know a lot about their relationship, but that one seemed fine.
Sure. Yeah. How wild would it be when she has a kid?
It'd be really wild. I
feel like her fans believe she would have an immaculate conception.
I mean, well, knowing her though, she'd probably talk about whatever it was that did happen because she
could hear like a dot.
Yeah, she tends to be pretty. She tends to be pretty open about stuff like that. Whether it's like, oh, someone. Like, if she got pregnant and the father screwed her over or something, I feel like knowing what kind of how she is nowadays, she would probably talk a little bit about it. If not give, like, every detail, she'd probably at least say something, you know? Probably write a song about it.
Oh, yeah.
As musicians do.
As they do. So it's kind of interesting because, like, this isn't... So the whole point of it was just, like... Just kind of go down the list. And this isn't, quote-unquote, slut-shaming her. Because she can date whoever the fuck she wants.
That's
it's
true.
It's just, I think with her being, especially at the time so early, so young.
Mm-hmm.
And then to start dating, everyone's so interested on who are you seeing, like, any crushes, especially, like, early on.
Right.
And
it's
even
been
still
big
now,
names, too, like I said. Like, she's, like, what, her first relationship was with Joe Jonas, who was also huge at that time.
Huge.
Yeah, like, that's something that's gonna pull interest, you know?
Tabloids everywhere. There's no privacy in your fucking
life.
Like,
she dates some famous-ass people, so...
Some famous dudes, and they've all ended with a breakup. And with those breakups come rabid fans that also hate those men, called Swifties.
Good
and
old Swifties.
Catherine has a Swifties tattoo on her left arm.
That's completely incorrect. Thank you for spreading lies, Jason.
Catherine is currently typing, why the fuck would you tell people that, you asshole?
I need to add that as a rule to the drinking game, is every time you tell them that I have a tattoo of something. Because according
Dude,
you
to are you, tatted
I probably
up.
Have a full sleeve at this point.
You are tatted the fuck up, bro.
So tatted.
You are tatted up. You are at Kat Von D levels of tattoos.
That's it, yeah. Let me find our drinking game. We need to release our drinking game to the public.
I know. We need, like...
we have people who listen, so...
Yeah. There's gotta be... There's definitely things like how many times we say the word wild in a podcast.
Ooh, well, we don't want to kill people.
That's true, yeah.
No, I have a list somewhere.
How many times I tell Catherine to shut
rules.
The fuck up?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
One
yes.
of them is every time you said you would get it on vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. So, back on track, Swifties, I hope you're listening. Knock, knock, knock. You guys are fucking insane. I have never seen a fan base more protective, more rabid than you guys. I thought metalheads were territorial, but Swift fans are like a pride of lions on steroids.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, they're extremely loyal. There are a lot of them. There's a foundation there, because they've been there so long.
It is... know? A lot. It is... insane. To kind of put it into... a visual. During a tiny desk on NPR, there's like a few people around, but when Taylor Swift showed up, that office was over capacity. Someone should have called a fire marshal. There was way too many people in that tiny desk. So my question to Swift fans, Swifties, is do you have a PDF on how to write a death threat? Because there are so fucking many. Oh my god. Have you read through some of them shits?
No.
They like...
What do you do with your spare time, Jason? Because that's not how I use mine.
I don't read them. But there's always FIFA. Articles. I play FIFA.
That's my free time. That's what I do during my free time.
Straight energy, Catherine. I play FIFA.
Ew.
You should have came...
Never say those words again.
You should have came to the tournament I was at this past weekend. Because that's all my friends talked about. It was like, yo,
oh, really?
Play me a FIFA.
Well, I'm still bad at FIFA. I'm getting better. I trained a lot last week when I had my 2 days off. Look at you. I'm actually consistently playing at the semi-pro level instead of amateur.
Wow.
I know.
Applause. Insert applause. Exactly. Look at that. Like, Catherine's a semi-pro.
Just wait. I'm a sporty sport.
I'm going to buy you cleats for Christmas.
Oh, my God. I guess I'll have to learn how to kick a ball then.
My knees.
Shut up.
So, here's an example of more threats that they have made to people. Here's like a few. So, example, 2013, there were these two designers that made a t-shirt with the last names of all the guys Taylor Swift has dated. Like, have you seen those, like, the, like, name and shirts?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. Those shirts, like, really old shirts.
Right.
And so, the designer said they only made it for a friend to wear, but then people found it on Twitter, and Swifties went fucking rabid and threatened to kill the designers and burn their fucking store. They received multiple death
people
threats.
People are insane. I think Swifties were honestly the original, like, they were the OG Twitter stans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think they may have been the first.
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I firmly believe it. So, as any person with sense would do, they mass-produced the shirts and sold them for $19.99. Just to piss them off even more. And the shirts originally had Cory Monteith's name on it, but out of respect of his death, they took it off.
Huh.
Wild.
I mean, I guess if they're getting death threats,
like, yo,
anyways.
He's dead. Let's take his fucking name off. But let's keep all the other 12 guys on there. You know.
Really?
Yeah.
Only respect them once they're dead out.
Oh, yeah. Only respect you once you're dead. Yeah, if he was alive, he'd still be there. So, more recently, they threatened to kill Scooter Braun, as we know, like, that whole ordeal.
We've been known.
They threatened, but apparently this was very recent, like, a few days ago. They threatened to kill him and his family, and also threatened employees of the record company, Big Machine Records, that he bought out. They threatened their lives as well, and the threats were so bad they had to close one of their office buildings over safety concerns. Do you know how fucking insane it is for a group of 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds to threaten someone that big to close down an office building, to close down a percentage of the economy? Do you know how fucking insane that is?
Oh, it's insane.
You know, is it outlandish? Correct me if this is too much. This is how certain levels of thinking right now I'm going into.
I mean,
is it outlandish to think?
Is
it outlandish to think a Swiftie may shoot up a public place out of pure fandom rage?
Or they would never
cross that line.
I think there's probably one. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
are they
out
just
of
keyboard
all of them,
warriors?
There's probably like one that one. Is that insane.
That is.
Well, just the way where it's like, you know, hundreds of white, skinny white boys are bullied, but there's always going to be one that'll shoot up the school. As awful as that metaphor is. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
there's always one that is capable of
that. I love that school shooter statistics are now, like, having a disease. Like, one in five people will have this. You know, like one in 10 white guys will shoot up a fucking school.
I mean, is that not what it is at this point in this depressing year?
Yeah. So I'm not wrong. You know.
No,
Swifties might get mad. It's just like, oh, we would never do that. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. People are fucking crazy.
There's doubt. Like, people are fucking honestly, nuts. Do I think the average Swiftie is going to do that? No.
No.
Like, I truly don't think, but...
But that small percentage
I also don't think it's not possible, you know?
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
Nothing is impossible. Quote of the day.
Great.
But it's kind of wild to me, because, like, the whole toxic nature by some of that fandom taints everyone around them. You know, you just have to say, oh, I'm not like them. You know, I'm not like the other girls. But it's also right. Interesting because this is a fandom that touts how super diverse they are. They're neoliberals, whatever that fucking means. They're super liberal, accepting. But the moment you come for Taylor, they'll threaten to murder your children. You know what right. I'm saying? You can't do both.
Well, just you have because to pick also, one. Well, yeah. Well, especially when someone says they're a liberal or says they're... Because also, liberalism isn't necessarily mean, oh, they're a good guy. You know what I mean?
No.
It's all about, like, the radicalism.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, people being extreme about their beliefs. And if, like, their main belief is supporting Taylor Swift and whatever she does, yeah. Like, that can turn into a bad thing.
It's kind of wild. Because I'm just like, you know, I've said enough as it is, you know, and they will come for you if you insult Taylor Swift, you know. They're going to be coming for us, Catherine.
Maybe you. I've defended her, so.
You're complicit. It's like if I killed someone and you saw it.
What do you mean I'm complicit because I'm not shit-talking Taylor Swift?
No, because you're a part of this.
I don't have beef with her.
You're a part of this.
How so?
I don't know, but you're a part of this.
Okay, you can't just... Okay, Jason, whatever you say.
All right. So another example would be Desus and Mero. They referred to her performance at the Billboard Music Awards as Diet Beyonce, which Oof. I thought was really fucking funny. Oof. It's funny, right? It's fucking great.
It's a little funny, yeah.
Because her performance is basically a ripoff of Beyonce's Coachella performance with the marching band.
I'm still obsessed with her Coachella performance.
It's iconic.
It's so good. I've watched the entire thing all the way through multiple times.
It's iconic. Yeah. It's legendary. But also, when Taylor did it, it was fucking... It was a fucking ripoff. It was really sad. Because they did close-ups of the band members of the band, and it's just random 40-year-old guys. It's just random guys pretending to play the drums. And it was really fucking fun. Like, they're so... It's so funny. They did a side-by-side comparison, and they were just like... One side of Popeyes has mild, the other one has spicy.
Yeah. I think because we've discussed how in the first episode, how Taylor Swift is like a very talented songwriter. Like things like that you can't.
Undeniable.
Undeniably a talented songwriter. But I think when it comes to like.
Concepts.
Being in a fully artist full around. So like the way Beyonce has so much input in like. The visual aspects of videos and stuff like that. Yeah. Right? Like with her, it's this huge, she's painting a huge picture. She's not writing songs. She's doing like a whole thing.
Oh yeah.
I think Taylor Swift she doesn't have that eye for the whole thing. She's really good at the songs. She writes good music, but like that's kind of where she's at. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to the music videos, she might have input, but like, she doesn't have, like, mm-hmm. that eye and vision for the whole package, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
And, like, performances and things like that.
It does. So,
yeah.
Another one of Desus and Mero, which they actually got flack for, like, big flack, was they were on Fallon playing Catchphrase. And Taylor's name came up. And Mero said she has a very long back. And they said Taylor Swift. And everyone fucking lost it. Like... Fallon walked away crying, laughing. The Roots, the backing band, are like screaming, howling, laughing. I fucking lost it. Because I've
never...
That she
has a long back.
She has a long back.
She's a tall person, I mean.
I know, but it was so fucking hilarious. And it was just like, Charlize Theron was there and she didn't know what had just happened. She thought they were cheating. Like, that they had some inside joke or whatever. But it was just like a joke they had made previously. Like, yo, your back's longer than my money. My God. It's so terrible. But it's fucking hilarious. It was great comedy. And so Swifties were sending hate messages to Desus and Mero. And they were one of the few people to respond to them. They were like, it's about body shaming. And they hated Jimmy Fallon because Taylor performed a song after his mother had just passed away on his show. And like made him cry and this whole thing. And then they were like, oh, we hate Fallon now. There's no respect because he laughed about this. And I was like,
tell you, it's cancellation.
I was like, what did Jimmy do really? You can't cancel the biggest show on late night right now.
Yeah.
Or one of them. You can't get, no, it's not, you can't, no, it's impossible. And so they said, quote, all of her 15-year-old fans are like, you're body shaming Taylor Swift. And so their answer to us was, to body shaming Taylor was they would respond with more death threats and racial slurs to us. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't be that liberal and then call someone the N-word on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just because like, they said a thing about Taylor Swift. You can't claim that you're accepting
and open-minded. Well, because also, cancellation culture in general is just, like, super harmful when it comes to any actual progress.
It is.
Like,
because it also leads to it. Like, what does it say about you that you won't hear a different perspective? I won't hear a Nazi talk. Right. But I would like to hear a more broad sense of, like, where someone is coming from.
Well, it's like perspectives, the podcast I listened to phrased it really well, where they're like, cancellation culture silences instead of engages.
Yes.
So like someone does something bad and it's just like, okay, you're canceled, and then you never hear from them again, when really it's like you could engage with them, and like if they are doing something bad, hopefully you can like they can learn better.
Engage, you know? Teach, educate. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Especially as us, as like this generation, this
young generation, pushing people, our, like immediately writing people off,
isn't
going to do anything better to make them do better, you know?
Unless you're Harvey Weinstein. Totally done. Throw him in jail. Completely throw that man in jail.
Well, doing something illegal versus like saying something problematic are two very different things.
It's just like, you know, you got to be educated, you know?
Yeah.
And so Desus and Mero got a ton of hate on like Instagram and Twitter, and so they would respond to fans saying, I'll fuck you up, and the fans would apologize. You'd be like, and I was like, what? Like, and they'd be like, no, like, you have to understand this and that. And it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's just like, if you're gonna come for someone, threaten to kill them, their family, you better be strapped and ready for war.
Yeah.
Like, you can't throw words of war and then take that shit back, because I'm gonna fucking find you, bro. Like,
well, it doesn't surprise me anyways. You know, it's the keyboard warrior thing, you know?
And then
it's like, you'll say it behind your computer, but if you saw them in person, you'd never say that. So the second they get called out.
And then, like, Mero added that the situation escalated to the point where the FBI called this local police precinct because someone sent them a message saying, I know you have four kids, and I know where they go to school. I scream grabbed it and was like, I wish you would, motherfucker. Come to my house. I got a rusty machete waiting for you.
Jeez.
And they won't act, you know. But it's one fucking day, some Taylor Swift act, some Taylor Swift fan, some Swiftie will lose their fucking shit. And I firmly believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. If Taylor Swift really wanted to, if she really wanted to, she could start a religion or a cult.
Totally.
She could start.
Yeah, no, she absolutely has the power to do that.
She could amass a militia, you know. Taylor Swift fan, like, her fan base has the power to start a fucking coup.
Yeah.
You know, why impeach Trump when you can get Swifties to just, like, raid the White House?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's a lot of power.
You know? And so, there's a Reddit thread I found of honest Swifties, of Swifties that don't pervade this toxic fandom. And they don't associate with it. And apparently they have rules to the fandom. And they consider themselves nice and see Taylor Swift as her best friend. As a best friend. Do you know how fucking insane that is?
Huh.
Like, I've never heard any other musical artist be compared to, like, oh, she's like a best friend. Like, I've never heard, like, Beyonce referred to as that.
Well, I think like because Beyonce is on such a pedestal, you can never be like,
can't touch royalty.
Yeah, well, like, I think Taylor Swift has been marketing herself as, like, you know, the more, like, relatable, quirky, not a perfect person, and it's easier to put her on the same level as yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, like, I think it's largely been a marketing thing, I don't think, you know, but it's also been something that's been effective.
Yeah, I mean, but also people have that in their fucking minds. It's not just marketing. It's in their fucking brains.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. You know? But, So I think, but that's one of the reasons why, like, people say that to her, but they're not going to say it about Beyonce.
So.
Could you ever?
No. So here is, this is the eventual lead up moment. I'm not sure we really went into too much into it last episode, but Kanye West, he is literally the arch enemy of Taylor Swift for some odd fucking reason. But the reason is,
I think he just decided one day, you know, fuck her.
So I don't know if you knew. Her life up. I don't know if you knew these, all the details of behind the scenes of everything that happened 10 years ago. Now yeah, 10 years ago, of this incident, of him stealing the mic of then 17-year-old Taylor Swift, and being like, "You suck, Beyonce's better." Because that's the personification of what Twitter is. Is someone being happy and someone coming around saying, "You suck, they're better." Hashtag shrug. And walking off. So, the then president of Viacom. The president of Viacom. Viacom is the big media conglomerate that owns almost every channel we watch. Van Toffler, which sounds like a fake name, but okay. He went backstage and apologized to Taylor Swift and her mom, who were both crying backstage. And rightfully so, because she literally had her moment stolen from her. And also, she had to sing. She had to do a performance after the commercial break, after she had just been upstaged by Yeezus. And also during the commercial break, when Kanye went back to his seat after being scolded by the producers and all this shit, they like fucking yelled at him, all this shit. Pink went up to him, the singer, Pink, the end all be all lady, the great singer.
Love her.
Love her. Amazing.
Icon.
Iconic. Though the goddess Pink got the fuck up from her chair, went up to him and yelled at him in his fucking face next to Amber Rose and was just like, "You're an asshole, you piece of shit." Gave him hell and told him everything about how fucked up everything he did was. I was just like, holy shit, that's wild. And Kanye, when he had swirls in his hair, you know, that was rough Kanye.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but he did put out a fucking good album that following year. So
which album?
It's really hard. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And then the same guy, Viacom president, Van Toffler, also caught Beyonce crying backstage because she was like, "I had no idea it was going to happen." She felt terrible. And so usually the producers know who's going to win the awards, but the artists never know. And so he was just like, "I kind of broke a rule and told Beyonce, like, hey, you're probably going to be up there tonight. You know, you're going to win this." And he was just like, "What if you let Taylor have her moment back?" And she was like, "Yeah, I'll do that." And so at the end of the VMAs, Beyonce was just like, "I want to give Taylor her moment because I remember what it was like to be her age and to win an award, you know." So Beyonce gave her her moment back. And that is why Beyonce is a goddamn idol.
It's true. I love her so much.
A fucking idol. You know what I mean?
Truly.
So really, what have we learned today, kids? Taylor Swift fans are insane. I feel like that's true. Like the bare bones of
But this. Is it something we learned or is it something we just understand even more so than we did before?
I think both.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Because some people probably don't know. Some people just aren't aware. Like, oh, Taylor Swift fans are crazy.
That's true.
And once you Google that, fuck yeah. They're pretty insane. They're pretty fucking insane.
To be fair, it's not exclusively them. There are a lot of other fan bases that are equally insane.
Yes.
But hers have been around for a while, and they are quite large and prominent, so.
Quite prominent. Quite, yes. Indeed. So, yeah, that is it for this episode. Tune in next time.
Hell yeah.
Next year. 2020. Can you believe?
2020.
It's been 20 years since the 2000s.
It's officially going to be a full decade after the decade that we're choosing to talk about.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Can you put an Owen Wilson wow somewhere?
Wow.
Also, can you believe... How's everyone's Spotify Wrapped looking? If you use Spotify, unless you're an Apple Music person.
Oh, my Wrapped looks exactly what I thought it would fucking look like.
Yep, me too.
Yeah,
me
you too. Saw that. Mm-hmm. You saw that.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. It was a good time. Yeah.
Someone had mentioned... a friend of ours, they texted my girlfriend and was just like, you're Wrapped and Jason's Wrapped are you guys are completely opposite people.
Yeah.
And I was just like, music. I'm like, I'm not apologizing to listen for listening to more music than the Latin world. I'm sorry. Right. I just want to listen to other shit. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know,
well, mine is like, well, the first, like, well, my top five were all generally similar-ish.
Black metal.
Like, they weren't... Yeah.
Black metal.
Wasn't too eclectic. Like, if you look at the entire playlist...
Gojira.
It was quite chaotic. I apparently listen to music from 65 different countries. I don't even know if I can name that many.
I listen to 49.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I apparently discovered, like, well over 1,000 new artists. So, like, I definitely made my way around.
Growth. Growth. That's yeah, what that definitely. Is. It's gross. Yeah.
And my decade Wrapped is pretty chaotic. Yeah.
Oh, I meant to...
I did have one 2000 artist make it on my decade Wrapped. I'll give you one guess to guess who it is.
Yes. Britney?
No.
Lady Gaga?
When I say 2000, it's someone who's still around, so they still make music. No.
Christina Aguilera?
I'm really surprised you haven't gotten it.
Taylor Fall Swift? Fall Out Boy, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Big ups to Fob.
Yeah. There's one other, but I haven't shown it to you because I know you'll give me crap for it. So.
Who is it? No, tell me now.
Oh, I don't want to.
Tell me now.
I didn't even realize it's something I listened to, but apparently I listened to it enough that it's on my decade Wrapped.
Tell me now.
21 Pilots.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. This podcast is fucking over. Yeah, fucking done.
That's exactly what I thought.
Why? Well, I can understand why. I can definitely understand why.
Yeah, it was, and the thing is also, like, I was surprised that they ended up there, because I didn't think I really, because I think what happened is that the first, so I started using Spotify in 2015, mm-hmm. and that was right on the tail end of, like, when, like, I still listened to them a little bit then, I stopped very shortly afterwards. Yes. So that's why I was surprised, because I mostly only listened to them in high school, and I didn't use Spotify in high school.
Mm.
So that's why I was shocked, because I'm like, how'd they make it on there? I really didn't think I listened to them that much, but I guess it bled. But I think the first year I used Spotify, I didn't listen to a lot of stuff on it, but I did listen to them on it, so.
What was my Spotify Wrapped? I think, like, my number one artist of the year was, like, Nine Inch Nails, I think.
That checks out. Of the year or the decade?
Of the decade.
Okay, yeah.
Just because I think, like, you know, it's kind of what happened.
My number one of the decade checked out, which was Hayley Kiyoko, so.
Yeah. But I did have a few surprises, which was, like, very... And also, like, my top songs of, like, each year since I started on Spotify was, like, oh, I remember I listened to this a lot. I had, like, many moods. Same. But it was, like, there's a lot of, like, Trent Reznor, like, his, the movie soundtracks. But that was only because, whenever I listened to, like, whenever I would read, I would play his music, and it's, like, really, like, droney, like, melancholy, like, very eerie music, which I like, because I would read, like, a murder novel, and I want to be, in it.
Yeah. So it's just, like, constant. Atmosphere.
It's just atmosphere. 2019 has been a ride, Catherine.
Oh, it has. My Spotify Wrapped, if it taught me anything, it taught me that. It was quite the ride.
It was
Check
quite...
out my homepage right now. Can you tell what I'm getting ready for?
I'm disgusted. DCOM.
I was preparing. Which, yes. Speaking of which, what do people have to look forward to in the year 2020 with the podcast and different episodes?
Wow. I don't know. I think I'm really going to make the effort to do our Backstreet Boys NSYNC call-in show. I'm really going to make the effort to make that happen. And we will have a special guest to do it because I don't want to go to Matt's house alone. I'm going to have someone help. You'll be on the line and we'll just have people call in and just say who's better, you know, because I think it's important.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's important to vote for who's going to win what, because it is an election year.
This is true, yeah.
You know, as much as you want to beat Trump, does Nick Carter override J.C. Chassé? You
know, the important questions.
The important questions.
Yeah.
Just got to know which boy band had the better hair, which is obviously NSYNC.
So we have that. So our next episode is going to be
DCOM music.
And let's see. I'm going to make you do a country music episode.
We're going to do a country music episode.
Yeah. It's a whole genre we haven't even explored yet.
We have not touched. And that's all the touching that will be done by you. I will not touch a single fucking thing.
This is all you.
You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to really stretch those vocal cords.
I'm good at talking. It's just that you're a Leo and don't leave a lot of room.
Yeah. Just be like, guys. Just go like, guys, Lady Antebellum, we have to talk about this. I'm like, no, we don't have to talk about this.
Guys, we need to talk about Dixie Chicks.
Terrible. So that is officially it for this episode.
Thank God.
We will see you guys. Shut up. We will see you guys in the new year.
Woo! 2020, baby!
Happy New Year. Please rate us. Oh, I keep forgetting to mention it. Rate us, review us. Tell us what to do.
Yeah, give us a... Hit us up on Insta. Tell us your thoughts.
THRTS.
How's your Spotify Wrapped looking, you know? Anyone else have us in your top podcasts? Hit us up.
Yeah, dude. Like, show the love. Spread the love of the 2000s. As we head into 2020, yes. I'm going to get ready for
as
work.
As we head into 2020, let's talk more about the 2000s.
Let's talk more about it, dude. Let's just keep looking back. Let's just keep going back. Let's just keep going back. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Yeah, I did forget to mention this. So I don't know if you saw my Snapchat this past weekend, but I was at a Smash Bros. Tournament. So basically, I went to Smash Bros. Tournament and there was a money match. So two guys put up $20 to play for. And our friend thought it would be great to blast music through his home speakers, which were fucking loud. And so just imagine 20 guys in like a basement. And they play Limp Bizkit, My Way. And, like, everyone just started singing. And I was like, wow, it feels like 2003 again.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, Catherine would love this.
Yeah, I would.
Just a bunch of guys screaming My Way or The Highway.
Oh, yeah. That's a big mood.
Have you seen that video? I swear, I'm sure you saw it.
I don't think so, unless you showed it to me during one of our episodes.
Fuck. No, this only happened, like... the other day. So it was just like...
Oh, then, no. My God. That's insane. Like, yeah, I don't check Snapchat a whole lot anymore. Like, if someone sends me stuff, I'll check it. But I don't look at certain...
Yeah, because Kylie Jenner killed Snapchat.
Yeah, also 90% of the people I'm friends with who post stories on Snapchat, I don't care about.
Fair.
I should just unfriend them, but...
That's true.